Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Shake them ropes. I'm Jeff Hawkins. Rob McCarron is not here. Rob McCarron got a new job. And so Rob McCarron can no longer do Shake Them Ropes. And this seems like as good a time as any for me to step back, to be honest with you. I'll tell you why in a moment. But first of all, let me state to anybody who's ever listened to this show, thank you. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to spend your time listening to me ramble on about old 80s wrestling and how these kids today or whatever. I did my best to be entertaining. I didn't always succeed. I wasn't always as engaging or as smart as I thought I could be on wrestling. Sometimes I was just not in the mood. Sometimes I was just being silly. But most of all, thank you for your time. You know, your time's as precious as anybody else's on this thing. Thank you to Rich and Joe at Voices of Wrestling. They have said, take some time off, figure out what you want to do. If you want to bring it back, that's good. If you don't, that's also fine as well. I have been doing this since I was 39. I am now 53. It's been a long time. Feels like it's time to grow up, honestly. And I've been sacrificing a lot of weekends for the last 9-10 years. Some based on scheduling and trying to get this show on, because I know that for a podcast, you need to do it regularly and consistently to get an audience, or else you're not going to get one. But there's not a lot of money in wrestling podcasting, as anybody will tell you. It was kind of funny. One of the guys who, when I was doing Fightful, wrote me and goes, you make six figures doing Fightful, right? I'm like, dude, I'm making 25 a show if I'm lucky. And I never took a paycheck after a certain time from Fightful because I thought the kids over there needed it. So yeah, once Rich and Joe, and actually, well, Rob owned half of Voices of Wrestling at the time. So Rob and Rich, this is their baby. And they brought us along to do the stateside WWE because Joe really didn't want to at the time. And it was going to be, pardon the interruption, for wrestling, and then Blabbermouth here had things he wanted to say. So it just became a show, and then it morphed, and then it morphed again. And then eventually we were trying to find ways to keep me interested. NXT Black and Gold came around. That kept me interested. The 99 or the 100 matches to see before you die. Vader Club. But a lot of the modern wrestling, you know, unless it was a hot angle, wasn't keeping me all that interested, to be honest with you. But from there, we got a platform with Fightful because Sean Rossap was nice enough to hire both Rob and I for post shows over there. So I got an extended platform over there. And I love the kids over at Fightful. They do great work. I would go back over there and do things, but I don't know my place over there either. That is a young person's network. Wrestling news and opinions and things like that. It's the modern day. I think it's the modern day Wrestling Observer. I know a lot of people will fight against that and Dave Meltzer's standards and things like that. I think Sean Rossap does as good a job of journalism as Dave. And he talks to probably more people than Dave right now. Not that Dave's doing a bad job. Dave's great. I like Dave. Speaking of which, thank you to Mike Sempervivi for giving me a couple chances over at Figure Four Daily in the afternoons. That was a hoot and a holler to be on national radio, Sports Byline. And I could tell my friends, hey, I'm on national radio. Take a listen for that. That was a thrill. You know, thanks for the people that love wrestling who have had me a guest over there. Thanks to, any number of wrestling networks that no longer exist that had me hosting there. You know, Les Moore and Talking Sheet. I had a blast doing that with Chris Zellner. Chris Zellner and David Bixenspan on Between the Sheets. Blast doing those shows. I'm not stopping doing audio. I'm stopping doing this audio for a while until I can figure out how I want to reconfigure it, if I do want to reconfigure it. I'll still be doing the Dynamite Show over at Fight Game Media. Thank you to Garrett Gonzalez and Paul Fontaine for having me come over there when, you know, they could have picked other people. And that's a small but mighty network, and I highly suggest you all listen to it, because a lot of people over there are doing great work. People are doing great work everywhere. That's the thing, is wrestling media is very friendly with each other, because we all kind of know that the fandom can be a little bit abusive at times. So we kind of grin, bear it, send each other DMs of, hey, keep going, you're doing good stuff, and move on. But yeah, everybody's kind of, you know, there's nobody doing poor work necessarily out there to me. And if you're doing podcasting right now, keep at it. Grow your audience. But do it for you. Don't do it. Like, I thought when I first started doing this that if I was smart enough, because that was my job, I really liked Todd Martin when he was at Figure Four. I don't like his chemistry with Wade Keller as much, but I did like his chemistry with Brian Alvarez. And I thought there was room for somebody else like that, like a Jordan Breen of Sherdog, the late Jordan Breen, if you remember him at all. Very smart, very witty, a little bit too cool for school. I could never pull that off. And instead, I became a morning radio co-host, wacky guy. So, because I like to laugh, and wrestling's kind of stupid at times. But I thought if I had smart enough opinions, maybe I could get another shot at a writing gig. I had already tried twice, but I was getting old, and I, you know, they want pop culture people in WWE, and I didn't necessarily want WWE. I would have liked AEW when it came up. I think I could be good in the room, but I'm also going to be the guy that's going to be very critical in the room, and I don't know if they wanted that necessarily. But, you know, I'm, when I left Fightful, it was to take a job that was well into six figures. And when I left that job and I got my afternoons back, which was a godsend, to do software and get out of legal, I had these afternoons free, and I was a little bit reinvigorated because I wasn't spending three hours a day commuting back and forth. I honestly, the other thing is, I don't know my place in wrestling criticism anymore. I don't fit at Voices of Wrestling. You go on the Discord, you'll see plenty of people say that I shouldn't belong here, even though I've been through many people who have told me I shouldn't be on here, and they have since quit wrestling and gone on to other things and come back and go, oh, you're still here. I go, yes, I am. A lot of people do this for access and need it for their content, and I have nothing but respect for the hustle that's involved with that, but it's not my kind of content. And I don't need it. I like having an opinion and being honest about it. And I don't feel I need to pull my punches just to make people happy. But at the same time, I've been far too critical of late, to the point where I'm not having negative radio is fun for a short time. But if you're always negative, it's a drag to the listeners and a drag to me. So I was trying to find things that, you know, excited me. And they aren't there a lot anymore, because I feel like modern wrestling, the format hasn't changed. It's in an arena. It's backstage at a television show. It's been that way since 96. And I wish somebody would do something to shake things up a little bit. But also, the athleticism has never been better, and the personality has never been worse. Who's having fun being a heel, other than maybe MJF? Maybe CM Punk. If you consider tonight what he was doing heelish. Who's having fun being a babyface, being, you know, the people's hero and stuff. But who's out there having fun? Maybe Io Sky. I think Io Sky's having way too much fun, because I, you know, she's just pointing at herself and going, ah, you know, it's, you know, nothing wrong with that. But all these shows are just like, there's this weird grimness to them, like, oh, we have to be really good tonight. You know, that kind of flop sweat pressure almost that you hear. And it's like most of these shows don't even need to be live because nothing exciting enough happens on the shows that some good editing and planning wouldn't fix, to be honest with you. But someone, Dave, said out there, well, you know, people won't watch if there are spoilers out there, et cetera, et cetera. As if people don't watch critically acclaimed television, even though some of the spoilers are out on the internet. What you do is you avoid the internet. And yeah, but gosh, I've already gone off my point, which was to thank everybody. And I'll get to my AEW critique in a bit because there's going to be some wrestling content on here. But well, look, I'll list everybody if I can remember them. Rob McCarron, Chris Novembrino, Tyrus, Jeff Jarrett, Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp. I'm trying to remember his stage name. Les, who are the talkie sheet guy? I know his real name, but I don't want to reveal it on the air, but his pen name. Anywho, Dylan Hales was on once. Todd Martin came on. Mike Sempervivi came on. Warren Hayes. I'm forgetting a couple other people who filled in, and I apologize for that. And I don't mean, oh, Mike Gilbert. I just know Soda Pop Comics. I can't remember your name, and I don't want to ignore you in this because you came in a time when I was in Arizona and I really needed somebody to co-host the show with me. Yeah, I think I got all the guests and stuff that we had over the history of 14 years. It wasn't very many because we didn't do a lot of guests because, you know, if you got to be critical or something, you don't want to do that. And God knows that Dave Meltzer interview was on the worst day. That was on, we were going to have him come in and do like a preview of Battleground or some dumb WWE pay-per-view, and Nick Bockwinkel had just died. It's like, that's not the day for Dave to do the Les Moore. That was the name. Okay. To do the thing. But, you know, eventually we got him talking about Nick Bockwinkel because I knew something about Nick Bockwinkel, and that was always, you know, fun too. It's just, an interview's not going well. I know everybody's afraid Jeff's going to tank it, but Jeff knows how to talk to people occasionally. So yeah, that was fun. But again, I'm going to try and bring something back in this feed. So keep this feed in your podcasts, catchers and whatnot. But I need a break. And my proudest thing is I think in the entire run of this show, I missed a total of 2 shows in terms of getting audio out there. Maybe 3 because the Zoom screwed up some of the audio the first time or second time. But and the other 2 were in the course of this year. But those of you who have supported me during my cancer, those of you who have supported me when my father died, I really appreciate all of you. And thank you once again. Now, as if on brand, a rant of sorts about the upcoming AEW All In. Because I feel like people are dancing around this. I know Brian Alvarez is on the right track. I got to this a little bit on Wednesday night on the Dynamite show over at Fight Game Media. But this Will Ospreay Kenny Omega build has been bad. I don't care if the match is going to be good. The build has been bad. And I'm a little confused if it's me or if it's my expectations. I think this is the type of super fight that should have had months of build, 2 alphas who are heroes to the people, staying away from each other, not doing passive-aggressive barbs, no heelishness, whatever. This is a super fight that might change wrestling. And I feel like this company has burned money. I really do. I really think they might have, with the right kinds of build. God, can you hear this bass, by the way? I have Russian neighbors who just decide to have dance parties at all hours of the day, and I can't wait to leave Los Angeles. But what does Russian have to do with it? I don't know. It's just a descriptor. But yeah, I think this could have been ratings changing. And Tony Khan has a big problem with the personality of his show. He likes his length. He likes doing his long matches. And he likes the critical acclaim of the quality of matches. Those things can't be denied. But you have a large roster of people that aren't getting their personalities over to the point where the next time you put them in a match, people want to see them. And that's a problem. That Kenny Will Ospreay sit down might have been okay if you had split it up into 3 weeks. And week one was, hey, do you remember the PWG match? And then you get permission, because I'm sure Excalibur could get permission to show the PWG match. I was there. It was a good match. And then the next week, the New Japan stuff. And then you show highlights of that. But I felt you didn't need any of this healer stuff. And especially the end of that show where Will Ospreay is petty and comes out after the Don Callis family, who shouldn't be there, along with, oddly enough, I didn't think United Empire, a bunch of D-level characters, should be in there 11 days before the pay-per-view, but here we are. But they try, they're saying, break his neck with Kenny. Will Ospreay comes out afterwards, oh, sorry I couldn't make it, boss. And then Kenny gets more petty after being saved. It was inexplicable to me. And this seems like the easiest build in the world, because everybody likes both guys and everybody should be stoked to the point where champing at the bit to get to this match. And you should be doing that kind of super fight media blitz for this. This should be everywhere. Not just local, but everywhere. Because WWE is for AEW's laziness, WWE is a different kind of lazy. They have the shelf space to be lazy. They are Coca-Cola. They have, you know, Coke, Coke Classic, Vanilla Coke, Lime Coke, Cokey Coke, Coke Coke, Peppermint Coke, Orange Coke, you know, whatever Coke you want. They have the shelf space. They don't need it. They have their format. They've been doing it for 30 years now. We're here live at this arena. Here comes somebody to talk for 20 minutes. Somebody else comes out and interrupts them. Nobody... But, you know, people were talking this week about Austin Gunn and, you know, that, you know, Road Dogg's in the midst of his verbal diarrhea, saying that the Guns were beneath the tag titles. It's like, really? When does anybody get the reps to be on the stick to prove that they can be that? And that's the thing. You might get reps in matches, but you're not getting reps on the stick for 30 or 60 seconds at a time. These could be pre-tapes. Done during the day, so you can do multiple takes as opposed to live, which is something that, like, why do these things have to be live? Nobody cares about spoilers anymore, trust me. Or it gives them a chance to see if the show's any good and then skip it if it's not. But nevertheless, like Saturday Night Live, it's very rare that something live, to the point that it needed to be live, happens on these shows. And I am just angry at AEW. Like, my issue with their fans is different. I think they get way too defensive when you critique them because they're afraid you want WWE to win. And it's not even a competitive match yet. Like, let me know when the ratings and the viewership are kind of equal. Well, we don't know that. Well, we'll see in the house show attendance a little bit how things are going. That seems to be a pretty good barometer, even though nobody wants to say that. And one group is doing 18,000, one's doing 3. And I get that the match quality is good, but I don't watch this stuff like ice skating. I watch it for heat and promos and angles and build. The good wrestling can happen on the pay-per-views, and I'm fine with that. But you doing a 4.5-star match, that kind of means nothing. To get to a 4.5-star match, that means something. Maybe on a pay-per-view, because then we just go back to more 4.5-star matches on Wednesday. You know, it's good for people who are tape collectors. And maybe it's good for people in their 20s and 30s. I don't know. That's the part that's getting me right now in terms of my place in this criticism sphere, because I'll go on the Voices of Wrestling Slack and you can tell they don't really care for my opinion, and that's fine. hate listen, get the downloads, and, you know, let me get paid. But it's just AEW has felt for a number of years like they are an underachieving, brilliant kid who just doesn't want to put in the work. And again, there's these anecdotes that stick with you that become truisms in wrestling criticism. And for me, for AEW, Dave had critiqued a show that wasn't particularly good in terms of angle building and stuff. And he relayed the story that Tony Khan reached out to him and asked, but the matches were good, right? And that has been burned in my brain. And I think if you want AEW to be the best number one promotion in America, you need to demand that some changes are made to the television format. You don't need to go full Stanford. I'm not saying that. But there are tricks and things to television. And one of my screenwriting professors used to have the worst pun. It's called tell a vision for a reason. Tell your vision. Kind of a thing. It's a bad pun, I'll admit it, but it's true. But you have to show things. You can't just say it on commentary and things like that. But if you're happy with them being your local bar band for $5 a week and never want them to sell out to get that big record deal, I get that too. And are they doing fine? Yes. I'm not saying they're going under like that Nick LoPiccolo guy who's just obnoxious, saying, they're going to cancel the TV deal. I don't think they're going to cancel the TV deal. It's a TNT needs all the things, and TBS need all the things they can to get people to watch shows over there now that they've lost the NBA. But don't get on guys like Brian Alvarez who are trying to make this product better and has an ear in there. And I know, criticism is good. Negativity, necessarily, not so much, but I've tried my best not to be, oh, this sucks, I can't, whatever. I'm trying to make it about the product as much as I could. But I also realize I'm kind of a glass half empty kind of fellow. So, rant over, show over. I need a vacation. I hope to talk to you later. I hope I'm smart enough to think of something. I hope I'm smart enough to become engaged again. I enjoy doing audio, but sometimes I feel like the stuff I'm doing audio about isn't fun, and that leads to not fun audio. But again, the main message of this show has been thank you for 14 years of friendship and listenership and criticisms and compliments. I'm Jeff Hawkins. Talk to you later.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.